Good morning. This morning, I'd like to continue our study in James, and I didn't plan this, but the portion of our text here that we're dealing with is deals with the coming of our Lord and our patience and perseverance that we're supposed to wait for Him. And this being the first Advent, we are looking to the coming of our. We look to for the blessings of the coming of our Lord as He came to Earth over 2,000 years ago, and we celebrate that birth. But we also look to the second coming of our Lord and Savior, that He has promised to come again, and that He is looking to restore the earth and restore our bodies to a glorified body. And so as we look past into as death has come into the world, God did not leave us alone, and that He sent His Son, that He would come into the world to die for us, and that He would give us everlasting life. And this is the wonderful news that we have at this time of year. And even though the Advent is not a feast in the Bible, or is not directly in the Bible, but the heart of what we take time to recognize is our waiting for the Lord. Now, this waiting for the Lord is not a passive waiting. We're not to be sitting by the window just waiting for the Lord to come around the corner. No, this waiting, the Bible is talking about trusting the Lord, that He is coming, and at His coming, and He is coming on His timing. And when He does come, we should be found doing the work that He has called us to do. For Psalm 27:14 says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." You see, David trusted God to work in his own time and in his own way to strengthen him, even if he thought that things should have gone a different way. The first coming of Jesus was perfectly on time, and so will His return be perfectly on time. Our blessed hope will be on time, and so through this Advent season, we are to be ready, watching, and waiting for the wonderful appearing of our Lord to rescue us from eternal judgment. And so this morning, as we look into God's word, let us keep watch and to be ready for our Lord. Last time we were in James, we went through the first five verses of the last chapter of James, which is chapter 5. And of those first five verses, dealt mainly with the oppression of the rich over the poor. And this is something that is still going on today. Rich take advantage of the poor and the vulnerable. And these verses speak to how our society operates as a whole. It's a dog-eat-dog world out there that we live in. And it is a warning to believers not to put our trust in the world or the things of this world. For those who have trusted in the world or who have built their lives on this world, they will find that judgment will soon come. And James then turns his focus to speaking to the believers, to those who have been stepped on by the rich and who have been oppressed by the rich. So if you have your Bibles, let's turn to James 5, and starting at verse 7, we'll read down to verse 12. "Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment." James says, therefore, even though we are oppressed by others, we are to be patient with them. Patience is one of the fruits of the Spirit and is the only truly exhibited in our lives when our lives trust and wait upon the Lord. For it is not our strength that our determination that gives us patience, but the Holy Spirit, knowing the hope that we have in Jesus, that he will settle all accounts at his timing and to his righteous judgments. I can quickly blow my patience with a lot of people. Personally, it's amazing how you read a verse like this and then all of a sudden you're tested with it 2 minutes later by, it doesn't really matter much. It could be anything by traffic, even for myself, at least personally. So, but we can quickly blow it when it comes to our patience with one another. And Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the fatherless, or comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. Patience and long-suffering is something that we seem to have less and less in this world. We live in a world of everything right now. You know, we don't have patience to wait for somebody to answer the phone or even to wait for the bus or whatever. It doesn't matter. We have to have these things right now, it seems like. And it's all driven by a world that wants satisfaction now. But we are not to confuse patience with tolerance. The Lord never tolerated sin, but had patience with the sinner. Meaning we do not tolerate wrong attitudes or actions of others, but we have patience with that person in correcting and exhorting the wrong ways. Our knowledge of the Bible and the second coming of our Lord Jesus should motivate us in our patience with one another and with those who mistreat us and look to put us down. Romans 8:18, Paul says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. When Christ comes to set up his kingdom for the first time in history, the poor and the downtrodden are going to have a good deal. Turn with me to Isaiah 11. Isaiah chapter 11. And starting at verse 1. It says, therefore, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of fear, and the fear of the Lord. His delight is the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, he and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And the little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play with the cobra's hole, play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people. For the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. At the second coming of Christ, this is obviously not here today. We don't see that we could have a child play by a viper's den or anything like that. But at the second coming of Christ, all of this will be redeemed. He will rectify all these things at his second coming. And he will judge righteously, even with the poor. Those who have been downtrodden and those who have been wronged, God will righteously judge those. And at the second coming of Christ, Christ will right the wrongs of the world. Nature will be brought back into submission, and we will dwell peacefully with all, even with wild animals. Before God restores the earth, the heart of man first needs to be restored. God has an order in his sovereign control. His plans are done with the knowledge of the end from the beginning. And so we are to rest in his sovereign power, to have patience as the farmer waiting for the harvest. A farmer does not go out to the field every day to look to see if his crop is ready, but knows that the crop needs the early and latter rains. And after that, he once the crop starts to turn color, he knows that it is time to come close to harvest. So we as Christians patiently wait for the Lord's return. Like the farmer, we do not know the exact date of the harvest, but we know that when the crop turns, the harvest is near. And so we anticipate the Lord's return, though we do not know the exact hour. We can see the signs of the times. Titus 2:3 says, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. We are looking for the hope and the redemption of this of our earthly bodies to the glorified ones. In verse 8, James says, you also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Ever since Christ has gone up to be with the Father, his return has always been considered imminent in the Bible. Romans 13:12 says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. And 1 Peter 4:7 says, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. We are to be patient with all people, knowing that our redemption is near and could be at any moment. We are to show patience with the world, knowing that our eternal lives are not affected how the world treats us, but we are to be eagerly waiting for the Lord's return. In Romans 8:22 and 23, Paul says, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. James in verse 9 says, do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. If you've ever been in any office setting, or for that matter, even worked with anybody, you know that grumbling and complaining about other coworkers is probably a pastime a lot of people like to indulge in. It's easy to pile on another person when they're not around and complaining about them. James gives us a picture of Christ at the door, ready to open it and come in, knowing that our current persecution is great and thinking that the Lord is far away, it is easy to grumble and complain about our situation with others. But we are to eagerly await for the Lord, to not sin against one another. Philippians 2:14 and 15 says, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. It's pretty hard to shine as a light to the world when to the world only sees us arguing with one another. It's amazing how much a negative attitude can influence those around us. When one person is always grumbling and complaining about the job, it makes the job more difficult. You may even enjoy the job, but working with this person who only complains about every little thing takes the joy out of it, and we can become cynical. But we are to be a light to combat against the darkness. We need Jesus to be that light in this world, to reflect his glorious light to a dark and lost world. At the first sign of complaining, we need to pray to the Lord and ask him to give us strength to do his will, even if you're asked to go weed the garden or help out around the house. It's always difficult when we're told to do things and not grumble about them. In verse 10, James gives us an example of the prophets suffering in the name of the Lord. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Both myself and Richard last month helped out with the CMDA telethon, where we phoned for the organization to see if we could get more donations for the organization on past donors. And it's a difficult thing when you have to do those things. So when you're phoning people on their off time, and I have a lot of respect for those people that do that daily. I couldn't imagine doing that daily. That's it's a kind of a thankless job. The odd time you get a nice answer and you get somebody that responds nicely to you, and then sometimes you get a quick hang up or sometimes you even get yelled at or told that never call here again. So you get a little bit of everything in that, and it's not an easy job when you don't get a whole lot of thanks for it. It's not always easy to do those kind of jobs. But we are to face those jobs and to do those things not to wear our heart on the sleeve, but that we are supposed to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, to correct us and to help us to do those things, even if they are difficult. But in Romans 8:23, Paul speaks to believers eagerly awaiting the adoption and the redemption of our heavenly bodies. So our motivation should be for the lost, patiently suffering God's word to the lost for the eternal judgment. For our eternal judgment is great for those who are lost. In verse 11, James says, "Indeed, we count them blessed." Who does he count blessed? Them who persevere, who trust in the Lord, who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job, and have seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Job is a classic example of a man who patiently endured much suffering and heartache, and was blessed by God for his persevering faith. James reassures the believer that God has a purpose for their suffering, for their sufferings and our sufferings as well, just as he did for Job. Remembering the Lord's character is a great comfort in suffering, that he does not change. The scripture repeatedly affirms his compassion and mercy. In Psalm 25:6, it says, "Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they are from of old." And Psalm 89, verse 5 says, "For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you." And Micah 7, verse 18 says, "Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgressions of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in mercy." And in verse 12, James says, "But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth, or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, lest you fall into judgment. This is plain and simple talk that James shares here, and it is what he has been sharing throughout his letter to the church. Our speech reveals more about us, our spiritual condition, than anything else we do. We can say that we are Christians, but if we talk like to others in but if the way we talk to others is constantly to lie and to tell untruths to them, it gives a very poor witness of what God has done in our lives. In Deuteronomy 23, 21 to 22 and 23, we are given the law of the vow. When you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay to pay it, for the Lord your God will surely require it of you, and it would be sin to you. But if you abstain from vowing, it shall not be sin to you. That which has gone from your lips, you shall keep to and perform. And you voluntarily vowed to the Lord your God what you have promised with your mouth. And in Jesus in Matthew 5, we read, in Matthew 5, verse 33, we read, "Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oath to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no be no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one." James condemned the practice of swearing falsely or deceptive oaths by everything other than the name of the Lord, which alone was considered binding. But we are to have a straightforward, honest, plain speech. To speak otherwise is to invite God's judgment. Giving an oath is only as good as the person giving it. Saying it that you swear on a stack of Bibles doesn't make it more true. We have to say, when we say we are going to do something, we are to do it and not to delay. This message that James has given the church is still true for us today, that the Lord wants us to be patient in persevering faith in him. No matter how people act towards us, our actions are not guided by the way people treat us, but by the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, by his grace and his mercy and his spirit, we seek him to lead our speech with one another and our actions. As we remember the coming of our Lord to earth, may we patiently persevere in his strength. Know that he is coming again soon, and we do not know the day or the hour, but we are to be eagerly waiting and watching for his appearing. Let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful, Lord, that you've sent your Son that we could have everlasting life, Lord. That as death came into the world, Lord, that you did not leave us alone in death, Lord, but that you would send your Son, Jesus, to take death and conquer death through his death on the cross and his resurrection. And that as we see his resurrection, Lord, that you will resurrect those who have died before us, and that you will give us new glorified bodies at your coming. We just thank you, Lord, for this wonderful message, for the message of salvation through your Son. We just pray, Lord, that our eyes and our focus this time of year especially, Lord, as we look to your coming, your first coming, Lord, and your second, that our eyes would be looking towards you and prepared, eagerly waiting for your appearing. We just pray that you would bless and guide each and every one here, and that you would lead us in our daily lives, Lord, that we would be a light to those in our community, where we work, and whatever we do, Lord, that we would reflect your glory and be on an honor and praise, that we glorify you in everything that we do. We just pray this all in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.